lived a student in this class.
You know that, don't you?
I
don't think there's anyone that's been here longer than you. 8 years? 10 years? More than 10 years.
It's probably 10 years.
Yeah.
The first, we were up in the sanctuary.
Yes.
And I walked into the class. I'm going to go take a Greek class. I walked in there. And I was sitting in the back. I think I'm getting out of here. And he handed me some stuff. I said, I don't know about this. And one of the guys was in there, and he says, just tough it out a couple times. You'll start to sink in. And so I toughed it out.
Here he is 10 years later, and he knows everything I know.
And I don't know much. Okay, quick prayer. Our Lord God in heaven, we give thanks for this day and this class. Guide Jim's words and his thoughts and all the studying that he has done this week so we may absorb it and use it and keep it in our hearts for the week to come. We pray in your name, dear Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Does anyone here order the Sunday morning's class? Some of them wanted it on DVD. Any of you here? Because I have some. And then I have the Gospel of John. Sharon, don't take off without a couple of Gospel of John so you can catch up on that. I know you will enjoy that. That will just blow you away. That is something else. Anyway, the Gospel of John is like open the doors to heaven. That's all I can say. It's David, you did have the Gospel of John with me. No, you did. You did. Was I in the Gospel of John when you first came to the class?
Boy, I don't remember.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I did 140 classes on the Gospel of John, but that was a long time ago. I'm gonna do it better now. I'm gonna do it better. Anyway, we're in 1 Corinthians 15:39. The class is dynamite tonight. If it goes like I wish for it to go, hopefully. First Corinthians 15:39 talks about four kinds of basar. What is basar?
Flesh.
Flesh. What is sarx?
I'm sorry.
Sarx. Flesh. Basar is flesh.
Sarx is flesh.
Basar. And?
Sarx.
Okay. Hebrew and Greek. Okay. We can look at both at the same time. Do you like that? That it kind of helps you a little bit, doesn't it? All right. Four kinds of flesh. U, pasa, sarx, he, aute, sarx, ola, ale, men, anthropon, ale, de, sarx, ketenon, ale, de, sarx, Tetanon, ale, de, ik, theon. All right. We'll look at some Hebrew and Greek words back and forth a little bit. Not all flesh the same flesh. Not all flesh the same flesh. The Bible is going to do some different dividing here of the kinds of flesh that there is. But another of a different kind indeed. That little word indeed there is a particle of affirmation like amen. Okay? It's like a shortened form of amen. And amen goes from Greek and it goes into Hebrew, doesn't it? And it goes all the way back into Persian. And this is like a shortened form of it, which means indeed or yes or truly. Of mankind. That's one kind of flesh. Mankind. I know quite a few Hawaiians. And Hawaii, and in the South Pacific, they were what you call cannibals. You know what a cannibal is? People eat other people. Okay? People eat other people. And they called humans long meat. Long meat. long meat, long arms, long legs, long meat. Okay? Well, it's a different kind of flesh. There's a flesh belonging to anthropon. Anthropon there, what is the word for mankind in Hebrew? Adam. That's on page 10 in Brown, Driver, and Briggs. Okay? Adam. What does Adam mean? And we're going, Paul is using Hebraisms in this chapter. Full of it. This chapter is full of Hebraisms. Now, the Gospel of John is full of Hebraisms. We have to lay down Greek in the Gospel of John and just look at the Hebrew. Now, during the rest of this chapter, this is Hebrew. It's Greek, but it's Hebrew, okay? I'm saying that it's Greek, but it's Hebraisms. He's got the Hebrew mind. When he even quotes the Hebrew scriptures, or if he's using the Septuagint, he'll change it to Hebrew. We're not correct? Not translated correctly. Adam. Adam means...
blood.
Let me read it to you here in Greek, because we're not talking about Greek right now. Adam is not a Greek word. It's Hebrew. Okay? So let's go over here on page 10 and let me read this to you just a little bit. Page 10. Page 9, actually. Goes all the way into page 10. Man or mankind? Aduma. A man, any man, collectively of all mankind or humankind, distinctly humankind, men and women, not a beast, not a behemoth, not of large beast, and it said made, and then man is made in God's image. Man is made in God's image. Genesis 1, 26 and 27. And I forgot my Hebrew Bible. I was going to bring that tonight and walked off and left it. Genesis 1, 26 and 1, 27. It said, God said that He made man in His physical image, because as the pre-incarnate Christ, this is what Christ would look like when He walked among man, that was related to Mary and related to the human race. He made him in His blood-flowing likeness and His shadow-casting likeness, and He made footprints like him. All right? Foot tracks. Says of men in general. And then we have the word Adama. 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 Of course, we have to change it. Now, this is a man and this is a man, but different. This is a final and that's not. Okay? Adama. Adama, the word Adama, the root of it all is Dom. Okay? Dom. And that means red. Okay? Red. It means blood. And if you've been in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma, you weren't through Paul's Valley here a while back. When you were back there in that area, you saw red farmland, didn't you? The ground was red. It's red clay. Evidently, the Garden of Eden, the ground was red clay. A lot of red clay around there. And red clay, you can really grow some good crops. All right? That's what it means. These all words are related to one another. It is a, and the word clay here, and Paul's going to go into that in just a little while. It is, God made man not from mud, or not from dust, but from the same elements as dust, but they become the dust, but so related to dust that you would call man dirt. Okay? His name has the same root as the earth. Adam, the earth, and blood are red. They're all the same roots. And the earth is the abode of man. mankind. The abode of mankind. The abode of mankind. Anything that is dyed red, it is a red or red colored. That which flows in humankind is red blood. That which flows in animals is red blood. Therefore, everyone is related, because all of us are related to the red blood and the red of the earth. Okay? The iron that is in the earth. That's what that red... And the word Adam means ruddy. Red horses, the red heifer. The red heifer offering. Carnelian colors. Alright? These are all from the word Adam. From the word Adam. Anthropone. We get a word anthropology from that word. And then another kind, ale. Weak adversative conjunction, page 85, if you want to write that word, day down there. Another kind of flesh is of animals, kateno. This word here is property. This word is cattle and horses, and it's on page 242 in the Analytical Greek Lexicon, by the way. Cattle and horses. Something to possess, something that you own is property. Abraham had a lot of property. This is what you call portable property. Say portable property. Portable property. That you can drive and move around. Another kind of flesh is of a patenon, birds. This literally means wing flappers, and it means wing flappers in Hebrew also, and it also means wombly or wing flappers even in the Lakota language. Alright? It literally goes back to the root, pateryx, which means feathers. Feathers. And when man began to write and use ink, what did he use to write with? Feathers, quills. All right. So we got the flesh of man, we got the flesh of animals, and we got the flesh of birds, and we got the flesh of ale de ichthyon. That's swimmers. Swimmers. Literally swimmers. That which swims in the ocean. For nearly all of my life, until I got all this mercury and arsenic poisoning, I hardly ever eat any beef or anything. Well, I ate buffalo and I ate venison. That was just about my meat in my life. And I ate fish. Mostly fish. Didn't eat anything else. Now, since a lot of fish has mercury and arsenic in it, I don't get to eat that. I miss eating fish. 15 and verse 40. Paul starts on a higher argument on higher ground. Okay? Kai somata. Epurania. Kai somata. Epigeia. Ale. Hetera. Man. Hey. Tone. Uparanion, doxa, hetera, de, he, ton, epigeion. Higher argument on higher ground. Higher ground is up in the sky. Okay? A higher plane, I should say. And bodies, and bodies heavenly. Uparanois. What is the word for heaven in Hebrew?
There it is, Shemayim.
Shemayim. If we put a ha in front of it, that is the heavens, okay? Shemayim. What does Shemayim mean? Shemayim.
Like ocean?
It means uplifted waters. Now the earth, when the earth, God created the earth originally, it was a ball, like it is today. I hate to tell the Catholics this, but they were wrong all the time. Because they trusted the Pope instead of the Bible. Okay? The Pope said that the earth was flat, and when Galileo and some of the other astronomers started saying that the earth was actually a round ball and the earth was not the center of the universe, The Catholic Church threatened to denounce them and to anathematize them and to send them to hell forever unless they recanted their ungodly, un-Catholic views. But the Catholic view was contrary to the Bible. Well, the earth is land, and at one time it was water on one side and earth, or arets, on the other side. Arets. What does arets mean?
Dry ground.
Dry ground. Okay, arets. So there was earth, or arets, on one side and water on the other side. But around the whole earth was the atmosphere. Atmosphere, that comes out of Greek too. That was an ocean in the sky. It was like a giant bubble. An ocean completely surrounding the earth. The earth was in a ball of water. And that's why everything above the earth was called Shemaim, which meant uplifted waters. Uplifted waters. Okay? You got that? This helping you any? No? Probably already knew it. Been around me very much, you would. All right, the body's heavenly. And this means, this comes from two words here. This is a compound word. It comes from Epi, page 153 and 54 in the Analytical Greek Lexicon. And then Uranos. Uranos. Heaven. That word corresponds to this Shemaim. Okay? Now in the book of Genesis, when they translated the book of Genesis into the Greek, it says Barashit Bara Hashemayim, et Hashemayim we et our arts. Hashemayim is a plural word in it. But they translate it Uranon. That was wrong. It should have been, shouldn't be in RK, it should have been in our case, in one of the beginnings, and then we have the word Hashemayim. It should have been the heavens, Uranos, Tois Uranos. Right? He created the heavens and then the earth. All right. And the bodies heavenly and the bodies upon the earth, epiges. And this is the word Adama, upon the earth. All right, the earth. There's bodies in the heaven and bodies on the earth. Tell me about a body that lives in the heavens. What body, what material, what spiritual thing lives in the heavens above the earth? What? That's their homing place. What is it? Angels. All right. Stars, clouds,
the moon.
What?
The moon,
the Selima. What's that? There's a girl, the Selima. Her name means moon, Selima. All right. The moon, the sun, all of these are homing places. And, of course, all the spirits and angels live out there. Many, many, many. More live out there than upon the earth, I can tell you right now. The bodies heavenly and bodies upon the earth, but different indeed. Here we have that word, that particle of affirmation again. Page 268, if you want to write down the page number. I know you want to write it down there for myself. And the glory. That word hey and doxa there, you can write a little line over there to doxa. Okay? The glory of the heavenly and a different kind of the upon the earth. The celestial and the earthly. Okay? Paul is using some poetry, so to speak. He's using a lot of Hebrew Hebraisms because the Hebrews taught in allegories and they taught in parables. He would throw something physical beside something spiritual so you could understand it better, and that's what the Apostle Paul was using. He's using an analogy here. He's using things upon in the heavens. That word heavens there, uparamneon, that is the word, it's celestic in Latin, C-A-E-L-E-S-T-I-C, celestic, heavenly of the sky, okay? Things belonging to the sky. And then it says the glory. There are different glories. In the skies, what kind of different glories? We see birds flopping and flapping their wings up there, don't we? Okay, that's very beautiful. I talked the other night about birds leaving tracks in the sky. They leave tracks. You can see, can you remember seeing the bird fly? That's track. Leaving tracks in the sky. All right. The planets have a track, a pattern, a road in the sky. They go according to roads. They stay within their allocated paths. Okay? There's things up there in the skies and things upon the earth. Now, a cat doesn't try to be a dog usually, and a bird doesn't try to be a fish. Even though I've seen fish fly, flying fish, and I have seen birds dive in the water. But they have their place. They will visit that area, but they don't stay there. Even a whale can't stay underwater very long, can it? Because it is an air breather. It's a mammal. Okay? 1541. Ale doxa, himu, kai, ale doxa, selenes, kai, ale doxa, asteron, aster, gar, asteros, diaphere, hin, doxa. A.T. Roberts says doxa is one of the greatest words in the New Testament. And it means glory. Like the word Shekinah in Hebrew. Shekinah, the flaming out. What else means Shekinah or flame? What else is the flame? Seraphim. Seraphim. That is the flaming one. That is an angel of fire, a flaming one. Okay? There stood in the garden to guard man from the tree of life. There stood seraphims there, didn't they? Flaming ones, seraphim. Other glory of the sun, the helio. Other glory of the sun and other glory of the moon. Now the moon does not shine like the sun, does it? Why? The moon only shines with a reflection of the sun. That's what it shines. It reflects the sun. So the sun has much greater glory. Paul is showing all of these physical things so we can understand the resurrection. The subject is the resurrection, but Paul is going around the corner and coming in the back door. Okay? And another glory of stars, asteron. We get a word asteroid. We all get a lot of different words from these. Aster. Gar, asteros, star for star, or from star, differs. It through carries, it means to carry through, it's different. Third person singular, present, indicative, acting, diaphero. In glory, they're different in glory, the word glory. Paul is introducing the word glory to it. Say doxa. Doxology, what does that mean? What's a doxology? Doxology. That's what you're saying, praises to God. You're saying praises and glorious praises to God. Okay? Angels sang glorious praises to God. A doxology. If you look in some of the song books in the back of them, they have a doxology. Okay? And then we have 1542. Hutos. Guy. Hey, Anastasius. Atone. Necron. Ferrete and Fathora Egerete and Atharisia. P Penny, would you mind coming up here and reading the last few verses for us in the Amplified Bible? And we'll look at this one. We'll get right up this. Read 39, 40, 41, and then we'll look at 42.
For all flesh is not the same, but there is one kind for humans, another for beasts, another for birds, and another for fish. There are heavenly bodies, sun, moon, and stars, and there are earthly bodies, men, animals, and plants. And the beauty and glory of the heavenly bodies is of one kind, while the beauty and glory of earthly bodies is a different kind. The sun is glorious in one way, the moon is glorious in another way, and the stars are glorious in their own distinctive way. For one star differs from and surpasses another in its beauty and brilliance.
Thank you very much. Now this little adverb there, hutos, to start with, that little adverb on page 296, if you want to write that down. In this manner and this way also. Here we have another word, what we call a particle of affirmation there. That's on page 208. Chi plays a lot of parts in Greek. The resurrection, anastasis. Now I want to tell you something about the resurrection. You do away with the resurrection of the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ and the world has no hope. Did you know that? There is no hope. The Gnostics have always denied the resurrection, haven't they? The Gnostics. That's the know-it-alls. Okay, that's the ones they know deeper than we do. They say that Jesus was never raised, that His body dissolved, that it was never raised from the dead. The Jehovah's Witnesses say that Jesus' body was never raised from the dead. Many religious groups say that Jesus wasn't killed. The Muslims say that He was killed. That the other man, the Simon the Cyrene, was killed on the cross. And Jesus never died on the cross of Calvary. I believe the Bible. Now, the Muslims say that the book of Quran, the Quran, is absolutely the truth. That Muhammad gave them the truth. But Muhammad didn't write the Quran. Did you know that? Muhammad didn't write it. The Quran was written by people that heard him quote what would become the Quran. He did not write it. Other people wrote it. But how many of you have read the Quran? You have read the Quran. Did it impress you in any way?
The fact that it's okay to lie? Yeah,
I have read the Quran. I have read The Idiot's Guide to the Quran. I've read all of that kind of stuff. And you know what? It's just a book. That's all it is. The Quran is just a book. Now, I'm going to tell you the difference between the truth and false religion. Back in the Dark Ages, say the Dark Ages. The reason, you know how the ages got dark? False religion. The Catholic Church brought on the Dark Ages. The Catholic Church brought the Broad Ages, the Dark Ages to be, into being. Okay? They denied so many physical, medical truths of the Bible because of the dogma of the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church is not founded upon the Bible. The Catholic Church is founded upon the dogma and the bull of the bulls of the popes. They are the ones that say what truth is, and they can change truth from one generation to the next. They can change truth. They have the power to change truth because they are the apostles of God, so-called. The Bible means nothing to them except it's a holy book that shouldn't be read. In my confusion. It's a holy book at one time that was illegal to have a page out of it, especially from the original languages. Most people didn't know Latin, and so they allowed Latin versions to come out because that was the educated language and the common man did not know Latin. Simple as that. So it wasn't going to get in the hands of people that would be dangerous. The Catholics hated the Baptists and killed between 50 and 100 million of them during all of the church battled age. Okay. Now we live in a world today of the Muslims are becoming very powerful. You can burn a million Bibles out in the public square. If you burn or blaspheme one Koran, you will be killed. You will be killed. You will be on somebody's hit list. You will be. That's the difference between truth. God doesn't, we don't have to defend the Bible. The Bible will defend itself. We don't have to go out and kill somebody because they won't convert to Christianity. Because Bible, especially we're going to see that in the Gospel of John, every time when it talks about believing, it is in the subjunctive mode. You will or you will not. God won't make you believe. God doesn't force a person to become a Christian. It's not a forced religion. But Catholicism baptized people by the thousands. Did they not? They baptized people by the thousands. And the Catholic Church and the Muslim world chased each other across the Mediterranean lake. It was a sea, a Mediterranean sea. But it was like they were running from one side of the lake to the other, killing each other, back and forth, back and forth. A religion of hate and intolerance and forced conversion. And Muslims today are only acting like the Catholics did 1,000 years ago, 500 years ago. And they would still do it today if the Protestant Reformation hadn't pulled their teeth. What we need now is a Muslim Reformation that has pulled their teeth. But it's not going to happen. I believe that's one of the great forces in the end times. So also the resurrection of the dead ones. The Mormons have no hope. The Jehovah's Witnesses have no hope. The Muslims have no hope because they don't believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It was very important for Jesus Christ to come and be born of a virgin of the right family. And it gives you the lineage of Joseph and Matthew and the lineage of Mary and Luke. That's very important. That he lived a sinless life was very, very important. And many of the world's religions, the Buddhists will say that Jesus lived a sinless life and that he was a great prophet. The Muslim will say that he was a great prophet. But that's all. They won't say that he's God the Creator and God the Son. They will not say that. But he is. But that's not enough either to save you. Did you know that? Just because Jesus Christ was born into this world, related to us through Mary, lived a sinless life, and died on the cross of Calvary for your sins, that's not enough. That's not enough to save you. The resurrection is the final stroke. The resurrection is what pulls the teeth of the devil. And of sin and death. God has power over death. And if God does not have power over death, he does not have enough power to save you. No Muslim has any hope. No Jehovah's Witnesses have any hope. No Mormons have any hope. No Buddhists have any hope. There's no hope without the resurrection. Buddhists don't want to be resurrected. What they want is going to nirvana. You know what nirvana is? They want to go out of existence when they die. They don't want to be reincarnated into anything else. The world is so influenced by Rosicrucianism and reincarnation and this New Age thing. It even rubbed off on American Indian culture. They're so influenced by that they can't believe in the resurrection of God the Son. How many books in the New Testament were written to prove that Jesus Christ was indeed God the Son? How many books specifically written? Who wrote them? Who's the author of those books, or the writer? Not say author's God, but who's the writer of those books? He wrote 5 books in the New Testament. Who was the writer? The Gospel of John. He wrote the Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and the book of Revelation. And every one of them hammers Gnosticism and proves absolutely without a shadow of doubt that Jesus Christ did die. He was dead. but he rose. He calls himself to rise, the Father calls him to rise, and the Spirit, the Eternal Spirit, caused him to rise. The whole Trinity took part in the resurrection. And without the resurrection, there is no hope. So are in this same manner also the resurrection of dead ones. It is sown in corruption. Phthara, corruption. The word corruption means what? Rot. It's rotting. You bury bodies because they are rotting and stinking, okay? You bury bodies because they rot and stink. And they corrupt. In corruption. And it is raised in incorruption. Aphatharsia. Incorruption. Incorruptio is the Latin word. Incorruptio. Incorruptio. Incorruptible. You think about people that are incorruptible. Incorruptible people. People that cannot be bought. Have you ever known in history people that couldn't be bought? Tell me a politician that couldn't be bought. Huh? Tell me one. I'll tell you one. His name was Teddy Roosevelt. He had plenty of money already. I tell you what, he fought for the working man in America so hard he turned the world upside down. The United States world upside down. He tied in territory into big business and ripped them up. He instituted the USDA, Department of Agriculture, so people could have safe food. Talk about a tremendous man. They ought to do that. Have they ever done anything on all this stuff about Teddy Roosevelt? Have you ever seen anything on television, the History Channel, of all the things that he did? He's one of the great fathers of America. It wasn't George Washington, it was Teddy Roosevelt. Teddy Roosevelt is one of the men, along with John B. Stetson and Henry Ford, that helped build America to what it is today. Or was. That's what I say. Was, past tense. It's going back the way it was before they got a hold of it. Incorruptible. J. Paul Getty, not J. Paul Getty, but J. P. Morgan, Rockefeller, the great powers of America bought the election in 1896 and they bought it in 1900. And Teddy Roosevelt was giving them a hard time. So they made him vice president. They were going to bury him. And their man that they bought died. And they couldn't buy Teddy Roosevelt. And he took them to task. And he changed America. One man that none of the politicians want to have anything to do with today is Ron Paul, because he can't be bought. He can't be bought. I don't agree with everything. I tell you one thing, the bad thought is he can't be bought. He's a typical Paul trait. Incorruptible. 1543. Sperete. In Artemia. Egerete in Doxa, Sperete in Asthenia, Egerete in Dyname. This is a this is quite a bit a badge of glory, so to speak, a badge of glory. It is sown. What is sown? Seeds and dead bodies. Seeds and dead bodies. When you put a pumpkin seed or a sunflower seed or a wheat seed or a barley seed in the ground, what happens to it? What? It corrupts. It begins to corrupt and disintegrate. But God gives it a germ of life, and with all that corruption around, it fertilizes it. The Indians used to, we've tried to teach these white people when they came to this country how to grow and live and prosper in the land because they didn't know how. They said they were the dirtiest, stinkingest, dumbest people that ever walked the face of this earth. They thought they were some kind of half animals. They were so dumb. They came here and they couldn't support themselves, so the Indians put them on welfare, tried to help them. They got out there and showed them how to plant corn and feed. You know, they didn't have corn in Europe anyway. They said put a fish with it and fertilize it, in other words. And it would grow. And they planted more than one crop. They planted corn, and they planted beans that would climb up on the corn. So they would have beans and corn in the same field. But all of these things, when you put them in the ground, they rot. But the germ of life comes, and then something different happens. Wheat seed looks a whole lot different than the seed you put in the ground when it comes up, doesn't it? It becomes a wheat plant with 100, 200, 300 little wheats. Lots of little children. And a corn becomes a real tall thing. How many have seen how fast corn can grow? Boy, just go woof, just like that, out of a little old corn seed. Okay? It is sown without honor. That word's autemia. Our word Timothy comes from that. Timothy, if it was autemia, it would mean dishonorable. Okay? You can get out of the army with a dishonorable discharge, can't you? Dishonorable. It is sown in dishonor. And it is raised in glory. The seed goes in dishonor. It becomes corrupted. But when he comes up, man, look at what a plant that is. A glorious plant. You sow an acorn in the ground, and after a few hundred years, this gigantic, powerful oak tree stands there to shade all kinds of animals underneath it and birds to live in it. It becomes a glorious little old acorn. It goes from a little rotting acorn to a giant tree. You take a seed from a giant sequoia tree, and it begins to grow, and it grows up so statuesque and glorious. How many of you have been up in those giant redwoods and giant sequoias up in there? Glorious giant trees. That's the glory. And they all came from little seeds. Okay? They reach up and touch the sky. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in austenia. When you plant something like that, it is weak. When you put somebody in a grave out there, we went out to Union Cemetery to see how many graves were left out there. You know, they take the headstones off of those old graves and go throw them away. My wife's great-grandmother out there, her headstone is gone. Gone. Brett's father, you know Brett Johnson? His father used to work for the county, and he went out there to the river one time, I think out by Gordon's Ferry, and they saw this great big dump truck. And they went out there and they were dumping headstones in the river. And they were all in the 1800s. And they had to be from Union Cemetery. Oh, they say nobody is alive that knows these people. Well, I went out there the other day to see if there's any of these old graves. Marilyn was looking for her great-grandmother, which is gone. That headstone is gone. And they put it up there in about the 1930s. You know, it wasn't that long ago, but she lived a long time ago. She didn't have a headstone for a long time. So they put a headstone, but it's gone. I went out there and I looked for Colonel Baker's headstone. You know, the one Bakersfield is named after, so I went and looked for his headstone. It was there. And Alexis Goody. I looked for his headstone, and I found that one. And some of his children. These are people that lived here a long time ago. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Their bodies are out there because they're corrupting. But if any of those people are saved, they're going to be raised in a glorious body. A glorious body. A body that can't be touched with corruption. Can't be touched. It is sown in weakness because it's dead, and it is raised in dynamis. Dynamite power. 1544. Sperete, soma, sukakon, egerete, soma, pneumaticon, A, Eston. Soma. C, Kikon. Eston, Kai, Pneumatikon. It is sown a body. That word body. There is a word in Hebrew means gob. I think it's gob. Gob. Like that. That means flesh. It's a body. And there's a word up here, basar, wherever I have that one basar. That means flesh. It's a body. A physical body. And this physical body is psukikon. Psukikon. That means natural. Now, what's the word for soul in Hebrew? Nefesh. 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 That's the word nefesh right there. Every animal has a soul. Did you know that? I don't care what these preachers say today or any place else. They say that animals don't have souls. I'm going to tell you something. Animals have souls because the Hebrew Bible says they do. Now, I believe the Bible. What something comes out of men's mouths, I may or may not believe, but I believe the Bible. And the Bible says that all animals have souls. They're all individuals of life is what it means. And that means natural life. Natural life. When you're born into this world or as an animals obey, we were studying this in the Gospel of John, the first chapter. It says that the creation obeys God and it looks to God. It looked to God the Son as God, the Creator. The waves obeyed Him. The fish in the sea obeyed Him. The birds obeyed Him. When He was out there in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, the animals came and visited Him and had communion with Jesus. Just like they did in the Garden of Eden with Adam. Okay? They communed. Their souls mixed with His soul. Because there are the creation, their souls are creation of the great Creator. Right? It is sown a body, soulish, natural, relating to the earth. Adama, relating to the earth. Relating to the physical, material world. Okay? Animals relate to the earth. Birds relate to the earth. Fish relate to the earth. Man relates to the earth. Okay? When you're created a man that is soulish. Natural. Okay? But it is raised the body spiritual. Pneumatikon. What's the word for spirit in Hebrew? Ruach. And in Greek, the word spirit, it comes from pneuo, which means to blow. And in Hebrew, the word ruah means to blow, literally. That's what it literally means. Both of them mean the same thing. And the idea is that animals breathe. Even whales breathe. How many of you watch whales? Anybody ever go watch whales? Sharon, you ever watch whales? What do they do every few minutes? They come up and they breathe and they blow. They have pneumatics. Pneumatics. They blow, and as long as they're blowing, they have life in them. And as long as you're breathing, you have life in you. When you quit breathing, you're gone. We are sown a body, natural or soulish, but this body is raised a body spiritual. Since first class conditional particle, since it is a body, soulish, it is also spiritual. Now, every animal has a soul and spirit in it. Okay? And every man has a soul and spirit. And I don't care how much an atheist you are, or how much an agnostic you are, you're going to be resurrected one of these days. And that body that you're resurrected is going to be not be able to perish if you're lost. If you're lost, that body is going to be raised. It's going to have pains and aches in it and everything else, subject to the same diseases that you were, but without finality, without terminality. because you're going to be thrown into the lake of fire and they will suffer forever in that resurrected Anastasia state. But if you are a God, you're going to be raised in a glorified state, and you will be existing Him with in a shining, glorious doxa body. A glorious body. 1545, and we'll put right there, I think. We got started late today. Is it all right? Any of you going any place? All right? Okay. 1545. Hutos. Guy. Gagarate. Aganato, ho protos, anthropos, andam, ace, sukain, soson, ho, eskatos, adam, ace, numa, zoa, poion. Paul is filling this chapter with Hebraisms. I want say he's filling the chapter with Hebraisms. Where it says Adam there, should have been anthropos otherwise. We're talking about Adam. We're talking about the guy in the garden, Adam. Okay? So also it has been written that he became the first man, look at that word, anthropos, Adam. Adam. A living soul. When God created the animals, He created them, and they became living souls. When God created Adam, He formed him as the dust of the ground, from the same elements as the dust of the ground, formed him to be His shadow-casting likeness and His foot-track likeness, His blood-flowing likeness, and that He breathed into him the breathings of lives, and man became what? A living soul. Just in the same way, in the same matter, hutos, in the same manner, that little adverb, page 296, in that same manner, in that same way, when you die, as a saved person, you're going to be raised with a powerful, unstoppable, incorruptible body. Adam, he became the first man, Adam unto a soul living. What's the word living in Hebrew?
Shaya, living. A soul living.
He became a soul living. Look at that word ace there, a little preposition, extension, limitation of thought or verbal action. For the purpose of, that's how it should be translated here, for the purpose of a soul living. The last Adam unto a spirit life-giving. The first Adam was created and made a living soul. The second Adam was created and he became for the purpose of a life-giving spirit. He's the spiritual one. The first one was fleshly. The second one was spiritual. We have the first Adam that was fleshly, basar. The second Adam had flesh, but he was, where was his abode? Where did he come from? From heaven. Spiritual. He became spiritual. Go one more verse. Can't quit right there. All, u, proton, to, nubatikon, ala, to, Sikikon, epete, to, pneumatikon. But not firstly. That's a little adverb there, page 355, that word proton. But not firstly the spiritual, but the soulish. The first Adam was not spiritual. He didn't come from heaven, did he? The first Adam didn't come from heaven, did he? He was created upon earth. He didn't exist before God created him upon earth to be related to the earth from the same elements as the earth. His abode, his containment was the earth. But the second Adam, where was his abode? His abode had been in eternity. And the Bible says God inhabited every particle of eternity. That's something. God inhabited every particle of eternity. But in space and time, He became, the word Jehovah means what? He who shall become. In space and time, He became a living man. And the soul that was in Jesus Christ, the spirit was in Jesus Christ, did not begin there. That soul, that spirit did not begin there. It existed and inhabited eternity. He was the creator in eternity. The first Adam was created in the garden. The second Adam was already existing in eternity past. John 1 and 1 says, in arche, ein ho logos, in beginning kept on being the Jehovah, and the Jehovah was an inseparable part of the Godhead because He kept on being God. Jehovah kept on being God. And then it says in John 1:14, kai ho logos arxigenito, and the Jehovah, or the Word, flesh, He became. But He never ceased being God, did He? And we beheld His doxa. The same word that Paul is introducing us to is here. We beheld the glory of the uncontaminated one. He lived in the earth, but He was uncontaminated by it. Isn't that neat? He lived in a contaminated earth, but He was uncontaminated by it. He even walked side by side on this earth with old Satan, old Lucifer. But He was not contaminated by him. Not capable of being contaminated in him. But not firstly the spiritual, but the soulish, then the spiritual. All right. Well, we'll quit right there, I guess. Did you learn something? Remember something? Yeah. This is pretty good. This last, and without the resurrection, there's no hope. No religion has any hope without the resurrection. There isn't any hope without the resurrection. One thing about the Catholics, they at least do believe in the resurrection. They do believe in Jesus Christ, even though they made something else out of Him. You can reach them. The greatest success rate I've ever had of any people converting them to Christianity is Catholics. And they needed to be converted too. I had one Catholic come to my Greek class for about 3 years. And he was saved. I don't know if you remember him, Dave, you were in that class. You know what he did? His family had been raised Catholics for probably 500, maybe 1,000 years. He didn't leave the Catholic Church. You know what he did? He went back to the Catholic Church and became a missionary to the Catholics. Good on him. I don't know how many got saved from that man's ministry, but I pray that many do. Well, thank you for being here tonight. God bless you. Go out and do something eternal. Please remember Marilyn in your prayers and me. And Roger has volunteered to help write the book of Exodus with me. He's going to do the Hebrew, and then I'm going to fill in the blanks. I've got up to the 8th chapter, a little past the 8th chapter, but my hands are worn out, and I can hardly write. And I'm going to try to get the first 14 chapters, and we will put the Gospel of John on Wednesday night when I get that going, and then we'll do the book of Exodus on Sunday afternoon. So pray for all of us. And Sharon, it's good to have you here. We have really missed you, young lady. And you are moved into your new home?
Yes.
All right. Would you mind coming up here and dismissing us in prayer tonight?
We're on the other side of Fruitvale.
Just on the other side of Fruitvale?
The cross.
From your house?
Just in our front yard.
Oh, boy, that is great. Close to home.
We have to behave really bad now.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you got to really behave. Wherever you go, you're going to see Valley Baptist, aren't you?
A lot of people in the neighborhood, too.
Yes.
Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord, thank You for this day. Thank You for all the blessings that You give us, Lord. Thank You for Jim teaching us and keeping him strong, and Your Word, Lord, that every single day we learn something new and something else becomes clearer for us. And thank You for loving us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for being here.